Turn with me, if you would, to the 11th chapter of the book of Acts. Let us pray. Almighty God, we are so thankful for the word of the gospel as it continues in Acts. How the gospel began with Jesus and continues with us today. Help us to see and to read the example of the early church and how they learned to share your gospel in new and exciting ways. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now the apostles and the believers who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also accepted the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him, saying, "Why did you go to uncircumcised men and eat with them?" Then Peter began to explain it to them, step by step, saying, "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. There was something like a large sheet coming down from heaven, being lowered by its four corners, and it came close to me. As I looked at it closely, I saw four-footed animals, beasts of prey, reptiles, and birds of the air. I also heard a voice saying to me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' But I replied, 'By no means, Lord, for nothing profane or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' But a second time, the voice answered from heaven, 'What God has made clean, you must not call profane.' This happened three times. Then everything was pulled up again to heaven. At that very moment, three men sent to me from Caesarea arrived at the house where we were. The Spirit told me to go with them and not to make a distinction between them and us. These six brothers also accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen the angel standing in his house and saying, 'Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will give you a message by which you and your entire household will be saved.' And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them just as it had upon us at the beginning. And I remember the word of the Lord, how he had said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' If then God gave them the same gift that he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could hinder God?" When they heard this, they were silenced. And they praised God, saying, "Then God has given even to the Gentiles the repentance that leads to life." The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our Lord endures forever. Anthropologists say that the most intimate act you can engage with another person is to share a meal. Food acts as a critical moment for acceptance or rejection of other people. As a child, I remember the second Indiana Jones movie. There was a meal there where Indy shares a meal with his Indian/Asian hosts. You may remember this scene. It's a little like an episode of Fear Factor with all the different kinds of bugs and exotic animals that were on the menu. As a child, these scenes were terrifying to me. And it served really to other the people that Indiana Jones was eating with. I knew they must be scary because they ate those bugs. Today, I've seen food as a real time to test my commitment to missions and engagement with others. For instance, when I traveled the developing world for the first time to Mexico, I'd heard about the water and not drinking the water, but I'd also heard to be careful what you eat. The first night, we got there late, and our host came to the seminary and brought us a meal of chicken and vegetables. My internal dialogue about this meal was ridiculous, if anybody else could hear it. Should I eat this? If I don't, am I rejecting them? And then something cut through the discussion. I guess it was the voice of God and proclaimed, "Eat it, silly." I ate the meal, and I was fine. I never got sick on the trip, and I pretty much ate everything that was put in front of me. I think that Peter is having one of those moments in Acts. He knows that the Lord is urging him to proclaim the gospel to the Gentiles. He's getting hung up on what others say about him. The dietary laws are acting as a barrier to sharing the gospel. God is trying to shake up Peter's understanding of other people. And God is still trying to shake up our understanding about what makes people other. People who are different from us tend to get othered by us, which creates a new category of people. They. You know who they are, right? They are mysterious. They are often undefined. Sometimes they are making the day-to-day decisions that affect our lives even. They don't look like us. They don't act like us. They aren't as good as us, or they want to hurt us. But they are they, and we are us. In Switzerland, when we lived there for a year, I became a they. I don't know if you know this, but American citizens are the world's they. We're often this big, scary monster across the ocean. In the post office, early in our year that we spent there, the friendly postwoman at the window says, while telling me that her relative lives in Minnesota or something, she says, that'll be $2 for the stamp, and by the way, I hate your president. I was shocked, first of all, that somebody would even want to talk about that, but second, that they would tell me. Later at a friend's house, we were chasing a ball down the road with the kids, and one of their neighbors again mistook me for the U.S. ambassador and told me that they did not like the war that our country was about to get into after they found out where I was from. But there were good times when we were there too. One time I passed as a Swiss citizen with the French train conductor as we headed towards Strasbourg. That was interesting for somebody to actually mistake me for a Swiss person. But there have been other times in Spanish-speaking countries where I've been othered. I've been called a gringo from afar. I've been told, in addition to being called a gringo, I've been told to go home from afar, because I know enough Spanish to know those kind of things. And I know I look American, so I usually kind of lean into it. But God wants us to understand that the dividing lines of us and them have really been what's tearing the world apart. And that the good news is for everybody, not just for us, but for them, they too. So instead of othering other people, God wants us to figure out how to make everyone part of this us of humanity. To hear Peter tell his story, he's begun to understand the key element of grace. Grace is a gift. It's not earned. Faith is a gift. It's not earned either. It's not a choice, but a gift from God. God had already given these Roman Gentiles the gift of grace, whether Peter liked it or not. Peter was simply there to explain it and share it, not, as he says, to hinder it. The word used for hinder here could also be translated as prevent or stop. We Christians often work hard to hinder the gospel sometimes. We sometimes can't get out of God's way. But Peter realized that God wanted him to get out of his comfort zone, to share the gospel in a new way. We have some ideas about what going to church looks like, about what being a Christian looks like. Lots of those ideas are things that we've received from someone else, from some other era, or from somebody with another agenda. We live in an age where the church is going to have to become the place that believes in and shares the gospel as its primary mission. The people God wants to reach not only have probably never been to a Presbyterian church before, it's likely they've never even been to church before. This presents a challenge for us. Helping people feel like they belong to this culture of the church is a great challenge when they are part of a new culture. Is the culture of the church open to the kind of people who might be trying to reach out to God, to experience God today? Peter has realized that God wants him to reach out to these Roman enemies. Can't emphasize that enough. The Romans were the enemy. The Roman Empire became Christian not because of any war, not because of violence. The Roman Empire and beyond became Christian because of the way that Peter chose to share God. In all of those overseas crossing boundary experiences, I realized something. And this was good news, that I was not the U.S. ambassador. The scriptures told me something quite different. As Paul says, I was an ambassador for Christ. I love America, but my primary loyalty in life and in death is to Christ. People could say all kind of things to me, and it would be worth it for him. In Guatemala, as we were having lunch one day with a group of small-town activists who were concerned about this environmental devastation that was being caused by mines and property seizure in their community, they had prepared lunch for us. Everybody began to divide up based on their language. The Americans sat on one side and the Spanish-speaking Guatemalans sat on the other side. I went over to the Spanish-speaking group and used my best broken Spanglish to try to communicate. You know what Spanglish is, right? Spanish and English mixed together, right? One of the ladies was, I would say, grandma-aged. She took care of me and tried her best with me. We crossed boundaries as best we could. Around the table, everybody was essentially the same. That was God's gift. We could eat together and try to speak the same language, but know that we were there because we served the same God. The same call is there for us as the church to break those barriers today. Whether it is language, culture, race, God wants us to share this gift with everyone. The gift of God's grace has been given not just for us to keep, but it is there for us to share with the world. What is this gift that God's given us? What does this change for humanity? The first part of the gift is faith. That God wants everyone to know and believe and trust in Him. God's called everyone to know that God is real and that God's there for their lives. The gift of repentance also, as the scripture says, reminds us that this is the gift of repentance that leads to life. The main thing that God wants from humanity, for humanity, from all of humanity, is this repentance. The word repentance, as it's almost always translated in the scriptures, is to change your mind. That's repentance in common English, to change your mind. To change from the old ways of doing things our own way and commit to doing things God's way. That means rooting out the old ways and instilling God's new ways. The really good news is that this repentance is open to all who hear the good news of the gospel. At any time, God can renew us and change our hearts and minds and cause us to live differently. The hope of the future is that God still changes us. That God's change is not finished, but continually working and working anew. The hope for the future is the kingdom is still on the way. That the kingdom is not here quite yet, but at hand. That God's not finished with the plan. The church is the embodiment of that welcome and inclusion. The church is the place where we find, receive, and give out that gift. That's God's hope for us, is that we will know that that is the gift that we share, and that we will share it with everyone. As a child, my family, every month or so, shared a meal at the local catfish house. That was the North Mississippi delicacy, was catfish. There were a couple of catfish houses in town. We rotated between the two. For those who know the scriptures, the catfish is definitely not on the kosher dietary roll. But I equate and associate family with catfish and hush puppies and French fries. All you can eat. At these restaurants, they would bring out a plate, and when you finished that plate of catfish, they would bring more. When Peter saw his tablecloth of food come down from heaven, there had to be a catfish on it. I've always imagined Peter reaching out from the pages of Acts to reach out to me, to Mississippi, to say, "You're okay. God loves you. All the catfish you can eat." Today, God is reaching out to you from that same tablecloth to say, God loves you. No matter who you are, the Lord's gift is for you too. You're on that list. Let us pray. Lord God, we are so thankful for the gift of your grace, that you give us the gift of faith to believe in you, to trust in you every day. And you give us the opportunity to change our minds, and that you work change in us from day to day. Change us, renew us, and help us to share the gift of your grace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.